Hello and welcome to Last Mixtape Podcast. My name is Stephen White, and on this week's show, we review Neve Burry's upcoming new album, Yellow Roses, and the latest music from the week that was. But first, you're very welcome back to the Last Mixtape Podcast with myself, Stephen White. I wanted to reflect before we go into the reviews and the playlist picks a little bit on some of the stuff that's been happening within the Irish music scene. It's just basically an editorial, a little bit of a think piece for myself. And it's in relation to the last couple of weeks we've been covering a lot of stuff in relation to Palestine and in relation to Irish artists, whether it be the South by Southwest boycott, Lancome's speech at the Choice Prize, Fight Like Apes, with their release of Black Boys and Mopeds recently as well, which had a poignancy towards and was in aid of Palestine. And it got me thinking a little bit about how art and how music reflects the society around it. Now, not all art is political, but a lot of it is. And when it is, it's quite meaningful. And how great it is to see Irish acts doing this, putting themselves at the fore, Irish artists putting themselves at the fore, like these gigs for Gaza, a good few of them have been announced nationwide around the country as well. And not just in terms of Gaza, there's I think a march on today as well, but also in just societal issues with Ireland. Kneecap, who write about their experience in the north, bands like Fontaines, writing about the experience of Irish people in the diaspora, as well as Kojak doing that. And it kind of reminded me of a piece that I wrote a couple of years ago, a review piece about Versatile and their album Fuck Versatile. Now, to say that I wasn't positive about it would be an understatement. I wasn't positive about it. I'm still not. But it did get me thinking about it. In that review, I kind of framed their album as this kind of the portrait of Dorian Gray, which is this idea that there's this horrible underbelly that if you can't hide it in an attic underneath a sheet, lock it away and pretend it's not happening. You can't stare away and say, well, you know, that's parody or that's this and that and the other thing, and try to kind of get away with it almost. If you just kind of ignore it, it's almost happening. And I found personally, my interpretation of their work is one of misogyny, racism and bigotry. And I think, to me, in my review of it, it is baked into the music. And I think it's baked into the music videos they make and the music they make and their attitude. I lamented, I think, in the review that, you know, there would be this kind of attempt to kind of clean it up, make it seem like, oh, well, it's not what it was. You know, it's not what you think it is. As I said, you know, this idea that, oh, well, it's parody, and the idea that parody is in and of itself benign and, you know, doesn't have political motivations. I think I pointed out in the review that parody can have political motivations and it can have racist ones and it can be used for those motives. And that I felt that the Irish media in turn would try to clean it up because there was money on the table. And, you know, it was. There was reviews or near interviews where there was like, oh, people are trying to cancel us, but we'll only get bigger. I think that was in the Irish Times. But this isn't me trying to do a hit piece on Versatile. This is just framing it around it, that there is a good and a bad, and there is a light and a dark to music and to art, and that we can't turn away from it. I'm not for censorship or editorializing other people's art. I think the art we make and the art we consume and the art we see coming to the forefront of our country says a lot about us. I think Versatile and their particular attitude can be mirrored in a very different way to that of Lancome, Fight Like Apes and the bands playing gigs for Gaza and Kneecap and that, in a very different manner. And I think we see that in a very different manner as well. And so there is this light and dark, this night and shade to what we do and what art is. And I kind of likened Versatile in their particular form of art as, like, you know, the poisoned fruit, or, you know, in terms of The portrait of Dorian Gray, it is the portrait in the attic, this horrible visage that, you know, if you ignore it, it will kill you. And that, you know, the art is the fruit on the tree of our society, and so it is. And so these recent artists, or these recent act by Irish artists, show the other side of that. And that's the point, I suppose I've taken quite a long time to get to, is that in that review, I highlighted the bad and I lamented the bad, but I wanted to highlight the good in this little conversation I'm having with you now, which is quite off the cuff, that we are capable, and music and art is capable in a way of highlighting terrible atrocities and calling it to the fore. You can't ignore art or music or film because it's what we consume, or what we consume sometimes as an escapism. And if these motives or these things, these important political ideals get into our art and are played on the radio, or are they're on television, or they're in your cinema or in your art gallery, it does make you think, and it does push it to the fore. And those Irish artists, especially the ones in South by Southwest, pushed it to the fore, not so much in their performances, but in actually the absence of performance. Our art is a reflection of ourselves, even if we're not the ones making it. It does say a lot about us, as I said. You know, it's what we consume and what we applaud and what we push to the fore. When I was talking about the Choice Prize, I did speak about the dissonance between U2 and Lancome. You know, one band had, and maybe in one part of their lives, and had fought for similar ideals. You know, fought against apartheid and fought against genocide, and for them to be so disconnected many years later from that is dissonance. And then for the younger bands, Lancome and Foil Like Apes and bands like that, Kneecap, to be carrying that torch shows you that connection to us, that connection to society itself, is so important. There is obviously a good, there is a light, there is a way to channel art, as Lancome said in their speech, to just get people to maybe notice, maybe get people to understand. And they took their opportunity when they gave the speech at the Choice Prize to do that. They gave their opportunity to say, look, this is strange that we do performing in the, you know, are getting an award or whatever and enjoying ourselves. But I think in another way, and I not that I'm disagreeing with it, but in another way, their performance captured that feeling in the room of empathy, that feeling of the room of shock and horror about what's happening in Palestine. And you could say the same for, like, when bands like Kneecap or Fontaines, as I say, or bands are talking about, like, the social economic sides of Ireland, where it's, you know, living in the diaspora or being moved to diaspora or moved away, and, you know, what that feels like, and having empathy, and, you know, the housing crisis or the mental health crisis, you know, and being connected with people who are suffering, and being connected with people who get traditionally punched down to. In my review of Versatile, I said at no point in the album do they ever punch at themselves. They only ever punch down. And I think that's telling. And when they do punch at themselves, it's very light shots in comparison to what they do. Not to frame them as the be-all and end-all of the bad side of art, but they are an example of what can happen when, or what, how art mirrors us for good and for bad, blemishes and all. So yeah, I just wanted to talk a little bit about that and a little bit about the good, which is the amazing work that all the artists in Ireland, and everyone as well, I know I'm just talking about artists, but this is a music podcast, are doing, and these gigs for Gaza that are going on, and the music that's been put out in aid of Palestine, and bands like Lancome using their platform as well. So yeah, I just wanted to kind of dredge up an old review where I looked at the bad in order to talk about the good. And I hope in a way that I did that there, in a long meandering way. But that little light of hope that in some way art can help change or push for change. So yeah, that's my little editorial. And so we move on to the debut album from Niamh Burry, Yellow Roses. It'll be out on Friday, March 29th via Clatter Records. And I have to say that this is a beautiful, beautiful album where painted worlds of words and music just expressively come out throughout, and quite an intimate, delicate record where there's delicacy in the performance and in the music, but also a power into the way it's portrayed as well. It's a beautiful, beautiful record from Niamh Burry that kind of calls to mind artists like Laura Marling or Lisa Hannigan in the way that it has a commanding presence of storytelling. The opening track, Discovery, has a twinkling piano ballad feel, which is just absolutely beautifully played and opens you out into the world of beautiful, beautiful performance and a kind of a tapestry of music that the whole album as an overarching feel has. And it's quite a cohesive album. You know, what you begin with Discovery undulates stylistically, but it does have a cohesive feel to it as well. It does feel like one piece of work to it. Other key tracks such as Pianos in the Snow moves almost into this modernist novella writing framing of a story, and it really does kind of feel almost like you're reading, you know, an old battered secondhand, you know, modernist novel, you know, a Hemingway or something like that. Which has, once again, beautifully performed and commandingly performed by Niamh Burry. Her voice is quite something throughout. Who Am I to Tell You, another track that was quite a key track to the record itself, is also powerful and strong and far-reaching. And that one, more so than any of the rest of the songs in the record, did call to mind that Laura Marling energy of being quite strong in the performance and the lyrics having a strength to them and a power to them that is portrayed vocally, but also the music has a beauty to it that is quite far-reaching and indicative and integral to the album itself. The closing track, To Budapest, follows a similar kind of feel to it and has a swaying and twinkling intimacy to it that brings the album to a beautiful bookend between that and Discovery, of like long form and beautiful songwriting as well. The title track itself has a kind of a slightly different take, a different texture in it, which is integral as well to the album, of having these different undulating moments within the overall sphere. The title track has kind of a scratching intimacy, and the record does feel like it's quite closely performed. You're quite close to it when it's being performed to you. And I really enjoyed it. I think this is a powerful record. We've been talking the last couple of weeks reviews of the kind of the way these albums go in terms of an impact needing to be a loud and, you know, cacophonous thing. And that does work, no doubt. But sometimes an impact can be in a performance or in the words or in how it's portrayed. I think this is such a great and strong album that I would really recommend people seek it out. Just to listen to it. This is a great portrait of an artist and of her work as well, and a commanding debut from Niamh Burry that I would highly recommend you check out. So yeah, that's Yellow Roses. It's out Friday 29th of March wherever you get your records and listen to your records, or however you listen to them, via Clatter Records. And yeah, I would highly recommend that you listen to it. But listener, or dear listener, it's that time again. Yes, they seek him here, they seek him there, those musos seek him everywhere. Is he in heaven, or is he at the disco? That damned elusive Count of Monte playlist, though. Yes, dear listener, the styling, profiling, limousine riding, jet flying playlist, making wheeling dealing, son of a gun, with a tear in his eye, has delved deep into the latest releases from the Irish music scene to deliver another beautiful bounty in the shape of TLMT's mixtape on Spotify, link in the bio. Let's do this. Accept no substitutes, dear listener. Yes, the best playlister in the business. No takey backsies. is back for another couple of songs from the Irish music scene, starting off with Lucy Gaffney and her latest release, Forgive to Forget. And this is a great, great track. Has this kind of alt rock 90s feel to it. There's little bits of the Cranberries in there, there's little bits of the Smashing Pumpkins in there. It's a beautifully crafted song from Lucy Gaffney that really has that indie feel to it. You could compare it to artists maybe like Phoebe Bridgers, stuff like that. It has a jangly nature to it, has a shimmer to it, it has a kind of a hushed tone to the vocal to it. A great, great release from Lucy Gaffney, an artist who's been making quite a few great single releases as of late, and I really like her music. I like the style. I love it. It has that dreamlike nature to it, but also that kind of almost throwback to that alt rock of the 90s feel to it that artists are doing now. And I think, yeah, it really fits in, and it's a great, great track, Forgive to Forget by Lucy Gaffney. Highly recommend this one. Next up, we move on to Melt and their brand new single, Waves of Wonder, coming from the upcoming album, Field Theory. And yeah, delving into that krautrock-esque driving rhythms and driving a synth world of theirs, which has this kind of propellant feel to it. It's a great sign, once again, of the band's upcoming album. You know, delving into that world, you know, the aforementioned krautrock sound, and, you know, throwing it back to that kind of 70s pre-post-punk kind of feel to it, like bands like Can and stuff. A lot of the time that takes a lot from me in terms of, like, you know, my attention span for that type of music does kind of wane after a while. But I have to say, Melt's just imbue their music with this sense of urgency and drama and dynamism to it that undulates throughout the music and connects it and glues it together so that your attention is always being brought to something new and something interesting being held in, whether it be the kind of the almost, you know, far off vocal kind of sound, or the droning kind of nature of the music as well, and the propellant beats to it. Such a great band who absolutely nail their inspiration and nail the sound that they're looking for. And yeah, if you catch them live as well, they're kind of hypnotic in that feel too. So another great, great track from them. The album Field Theory coming out later this year, Melts with Waves of Wonder. Next up, we have Lucy McWilliams with her brand new EP, Third Second Chance. A fantastic record. We've spoken about Lucy before in the past in the podcast with her track Old Ways, which I absolutely adored for its dreamlike, hushed feel. And that tone really runs through this record. I'm Okay is the track that's been picked for the playlist, and it's the closing track of the EP. And again, it has that hushed, dreamlike, beautifully crafted and hazy nature to it that runs right through the EP. It's a great calling card and a great sizzle reeler glimpse into a songwriter who's really crafted a voice and a sound that kind of goes throughout the whole album, whole EP rather. It's interesting when you see quite young artists or artists at the very beginning crafting out or finding a voice very quickly, and how to use that voice within different textures and different tones and different meanings. And I think that's shown on this EP, Third Second Chance. It's a great title as well. And great music. Once again, almost going into that, you know, like 90s dream pop sound, but with a very definite modern twist into almost like the bedroom pop sound and into things like that. But much more characteristic and much more intricate and singular. And yeah, I really like this artist. I really like Lucy McWilliams' music. And yeah, there's a whole EP of it. And Third Second Chance, I would say go check it out. Next up, we have Kojak with London Lido, taken from the upcoming Phantom of the Afters Director's Cut, which is available on April 5th, Phantom of the Afters itself. The original album was nominated for a Choice Prize and was a great album. We covered it here in the last Mixtape podcast for the albums of the year. And yeah, this, once again, we were talking about earlier in the show about artists talking about living in the diaspora and being Irish in that sphere. And once again, that kind of comes to it. And with the added bite that Phantom of the Afters itself has as a record in terms of its production and in terms of Kojak's performance, there's a real bite to this track as well, and to the way he flows out the words and the way he punctuates certain words and the way the beat punctuates his kind of verses and things like that. It's a great, great track. And yeah, as we were talking about before, about that importance of Irish artists mirroring the world around them, this definitely has that feel within it. So I definitely suggest you check out London Lido and then Phantom of the Afters Director's Cut as well when it comes out. And lastly, we have Roe with the brand new single Cinema, a monochromatic effort from Roe, which really has this atmospheric feel to it and gentle nature to it, with a kind of a resonance behind a beautifully written and beautifully performed track from Rowan, a very welcome return from an artist with a very singular voice. And this is, yeah, as I say, kind of monochromatic in its presentation and in its feel and in its texture, and relies on this kind of atmospheric feel behind the kind of hushed vocals, and a beautiful, beautiful performance and a beautiful new track from Rowan with Cinema, and one that I would highly recommend that people check out, because yeah, a great artist and a very welcome return from Rowan with Cinema. And lastly, a couple of gigs for the week. Thundercat is playing Vicar Street on March 26th. The previously mentioned Lucy McWilliams is playing the Grand Social on March 28th. The Gaslight Anthem are playing a pair of shows at the Three Olympia in Dublin on March 29th and 30th. And finally, rising pop star Madison Beer is playing the Three Arena on March 31st. And so it goes, and there it went. But before I go, thank you for listening. You can subscribe to the Last Mixtape podcast in all the usual places and spaces. You can also submit your new music or gigs to me via stephen@thelastmixtape.com with the subject matter TLMT podcast, or via Instagram, or any means of communication that you deem fit. But for now, this was the Last Mixtape podcast. You were the listener. I was Stephen White. So long.